Oh, hello everyone, and welcome to the 2 Point Conversion Monday show. It's actually the last 2 Point Conversion for the month of May. It's almost June, y'all. It's almost June, and Matt has like three kittens, which I'm obsessed with right now. Obsessed. Hi Matt, how are
Hey,
you?
how are you?
Good. Matt's our special guest tonight because Jay, the other co-host, is in Vegas getting sloppy drunk and calling me bro on air text, which is ridiculous. He's like, "Hey, bro, I'm sorry." I'm like, "Who do you think you're talking to?" He's like, "Oh, I thought I was talking to Jeff. I'm sorry." I'm like, "Whatever. Okay." So he's really drunk, and he's probably happy now because Lakers are winning, and he's a huge, huge Lakers fan. But anyway,
I heard LeBron is having the best first half of any playoff performance ever.
of
Is that
any,
right?
Jamie, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Yeah. He is. He did. He did. It's second half now. But his first half, he had, I
31
think,
points.
yeah. And his high was like 21 for the time. What up, Jamie? How are you? And what up, Toronto Dave? Okay. So tonight, like I said, we have a special, special, special guest who volunteered to jump in Jay's place while he is out getting sloppy drunk, and I really appreciate it, Matt. Let me get this underdog promo out of the way, and then we'll start. So if you are listening and if you play any kind of sports betting, jump on Underdog because they do all the three sports: NHL, PGA, NBA, NFL, MLB. You can play any sport. You can't do pick'ems if you're in Colorado, apparently, which I found out too late, but whatever. And if you use our promo code, which is capital G, capital F, and the number 2, they will match up to a $100 deposit. So if you're the betting kind of person, I think you should probably jump on that, especially now that best ball tournament, the one that is the, I think, $3 million winner. It's in the millions, but it's 25 pay in. It's 25 pay in, and it's joke. Oh my God, Jamie. It's Joker. It's joke. Come on. You know who that is. You see him playing right now. Anyway, about the underdog, you will get $100 matching. So if you're going to play, put 25 in. Oh, hi, Jax. Put 25 in and you can play twice because they'll give you match your 25, you have 50. And you have double chance of winning the $1 million in their best ball tournament, which some guy did last year. I don't know who he is, but apparently everybody else does. So I don't play best ball. I mean, I do play best ball, but I'm not really good at it. But I did play. So jump in, play. Do you play best ball?
I love best ball. I don't love it as much as
Whoa.
Dynasty, but I love being able to draft a team and leave it alone. That's
Yeah,
really fun.
that is the best part that of best ball for me. In fact, until last year, I didn't really realize that was the theory behind best ball. Because one of the sites I write for had a best ball tournament, so I'm just drafting normally, and then I'm like, "Hey, how do I adjust my players?" And they're like, "Oh my God, you're an idiot! You don't adjust your players; you leave them alone." I'm like, "Oh, this is the best thing ever! I wish I would have known that when I drafted. I probably would have drafted slightly different, maybe not.
How did you do?
Oh, not well. I didn't make it
Oh,
past the
bummer.
first round. It's okay. It's all right. It was a learning experience, and I kind of like it. I just have to look at more strategy. And Jamie, 120 best balls each year. Are they all
She
paid, Jamie?
said I only do about 120 best balls
Yeah,
a
he's
year.
ridiculous. That's because he's in Cleveland and there's nothing else to do in Cleveland but do best ball, I guess. Jamie, do you pay for all those? Because I can't imagine I was still my money on Underdog. Okay,
Sounds
good.
like they pay for themselves.
Oh, James, you're the best. Jamie's the best. So anyway, moving along. Sorry, got a little sidetracked there. Anyone who is watching on Twitter, we can't see your comments. If you're commenting on Twitter, I have no idea what you're saying, and that's a shame. So jump on over to Facebook or YouTube or Twitch, and we can see your comments, and you can join in the chat. And if you're on YouTube, you need to smash that like button. And if you haven't subscribed already to Going for Two Live, you need to do that because there's like content every day of the week that you can watch and see and learn, or just like listen to me chatter endlessly. Whatever you like, we can do that. Gee, oh my God. What's up, Garrison? Garrison is like Utah bred. I don't know if he's bred, but that's where he lives. And he is the best. I used to do a Sunday morning show with him. He is the guru of DFS. And I love Garrison. I love Garrison so, so much.
That's high praise.
I know, right? It is pretty high praise. I don't love very many people. I don't like very many people. So, yeah, it's very high praise. All right. So in order, because it's Matt's first day, only day, first day, or he might come back. I don't know. He might not. He probably doesn't want to after this. But
time will tell. Let's see.
Let's see. I'm going to ask him 5 questions. And he's going to answer 5 questions. And then we'll go into the show. First question, where do you live?
I live in New Orleans. I was born here. Yeah. I moved to Hawaii when I was 10 months old, not by myself. And I moved back to New Orleans when I was 8. So I have a lot of the tropical going outside and playing sports and climbing trees tendencies. But New Orleans is my home. It's my dirty, dirty.
You're in New Orleans right now?
Yep.
Damn it. New Orleans is one of my favorite cities to visit. Like, I almost got put in jail there once. Jazz Fest, but that's another story. But New Orleans is my favorite city to visit, and Hawaii would probably be my favorite place to live. That's crazy. And you have both of them.
Yeah. Nice resume, huh?
That is a perfect resume, actually. It would only be more perfect if you lived in Seattle, too, for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do all 4 corners of the country and maybe some Alaska, too. You know, some New York, some SoCal, some Seattle, and then some Great North Alaska wilderness would be nice.
Wait, the 4 corners, wouldn't that be like Massachusetts or Vermont instead of New York?
It's all the same to us. Okay. You know, down here in New Orleans,
it's just up there.
It's basically a pinky, and they want to claim a whole arm, but sure.
Jamie, I don't even want to know what drugs you were doing in New Orleans, because I don't want to know what drugs you're doing now. Second question, what's your favorite number?
Go with 7. I don't know why. it's probably the – is it? I think it's the most internationally lucky number, but it just feels good. It sounds good.
I love them. Okay. What's your favorite quote?
Oh, I also watched Lucky Number 11 last night. So that probably has a lot to do with it.
Wait, Lucky Number 11.
It's Josh Hartnett, Hitman movie, Lucy Liu, Bruce Willis. It's pretty good. I'd recommend it.
Okay. But that still didn't tell me your favorite quote.
Okay. Favorite quote. Well, I'll tell you what I have. I have one tattooed on my leg on a clipper ship, an old pirate ship. It's a Mark Twain quote. He's my favorite American author, and he's got so many good ones. One that's an old school quote, but he kind of claimed it.
Oh, my fucking God. You have a cat and a dog?
Oh, yeah. I got so many animals back here.
That's the most impressive thing ever. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Watch. You want to get real, real cool, good with it? Here we go. We are going to
visit the animals.
Can you see the 2 kittens?
Yeah, they're just chilling.
Yeah, they're nursing.
Yeah. And then the 2 dogs?
Yep, no. 2 dogs. One's a foster that just showed up in front of my gate. So we'll, you know, I love her. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
But yeah, I collect animals. I own my own house, so I'm allowed to terrorize my own territory, you know?
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Your favorite quote.
Favorite quote. Okay. Well, I love Eat the Frog. It means wake up and first thing in the morning, do the most abhorrent thing that you are going to have to do that day, the thing you want to resist the most. Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead and grab the frog off the ground and eat it. And everything you do for the rest of the day is going to be much easier. But that's not my favorite Mark Twain quote. And the one that I have tattooed on my pirate ship is something like, 20 years from now, you won't regret the things you did. You'll only regret the things you didn't do. So throw off the bowlines, set sail from the safe harbor, catch a trade wind in your sails, explore, dream, discover. And, you know, I have another one. I have another tattoo that just says yes, because just go for it. You're only going to regret the things you didn't do.
That is true.
Pick up the pieces later. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. I find as I get older, that is pretty much my motto. Like, just say, what the fuck? Do it. See what happens. See what happens. 7 is apparently Jamie's lucky number for reasons which I don't even want. Oh, he was born on the 7th. You have a daughter? I didn't know you have a daughter, Jamie. What's her name? His daughter was born on the 7th. He lost his virginity on the 7th. Oh my God. Okay, that's way too much information. We're gonna hide that one right there. thanks, Jamie. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word? Mm-hmm. Ooh, facetious. Because I like the way it sounds, but mostly it has all five vowels in order, and it's the only normal word that does that. F-A-C-E-T-I-O-U-S. A-E-I-O-U. Unless you want to count facetiously, because sometimes why?
Oh, there you go. Sometimes why. I get it. My daughter's name is Marihana. That's a pretty name. Your partner named her, didn't she, Jamie? Because I find it hard to believe that you named her that. All right, your last question. What's your superpower? Oh, my God. They were so not even hard.
They were terrifying.
Yeah, you were just terrified of the questions.
Well, because you told me in the show sheet we're going to have five non-evasive questions. And I was like, please tell me you mean non-invasive, because non-evasive means I can't escape your questions. And that's scary. So non-invasive questions is really nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the fifth non-evasive question?
What's your superpower?
Oh, what is it, or what do I want it to be?
What is it?
I'm going to have to come back to that. It's a...
What?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Superpower.
I wish I had a teleprompter. Come on. You have it. Everyone has a superpower. What's yours?
Okay. Man, I guess the only thing that's really coming to mind is empathy.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting superpower, but I'll accept it. I'll accept that.
I jump kind of high, you know, but
I don't think that's going to be your superpower. Yeah, we'll go with empathy. We'll go with empathy.
Okay.
Jamie, I have no doubt that's true.
That nice.
I have no doubt.
Lucky number 11, huh?
Oh my God. Okay. Ralphie Dixon. Ralph has been on the show on Thursday. He is a musician, and he did our mock draft for music. And he's also a rabbit Giants fan and slightly crazy. So there you go. And Ralph does not know the word empathy. So I know Ralph, and I can attest that's true. So see,
can I spin it? Because if I was, I did think about this before. If I was a Marvel superhero or supervillain, my name would probably be Overkill. So it's not a superpower, but that would be my characteristic.
Yeah. Okay. Ralph is a musical genius, and I'm just going to skip over that. You noticed that, right? Ralph is a musical genius, and Garrison's superpower is winning fantasy football championships.
Hello.
Which... does win a lot of DFS, so I can't argue with that. All right.
Nice.
Yeah. Garrison is kind of a, what is it? He's kind of a DFS savant, I think. You know, I mean, if you play DFS during the season, you should really listen to his advice. It's pretty
What's good. His Twitter handle?
Oh, Garrison, what is your Twitter handle now? He changed it, he changed it to something. Garrison, give us your Twitter handle, please, and thank you. Ralph, you are a musical genius. Yes, I agree. All right, so now we usually do, Jay does. Jay's segment is buy, sell, hold, but since Jay's not here, we're not going to do that. We're going to I'll be your kryptonite. Oh, my God. Jamie's the best. Jamie lives in Cleveland. He's the best. 5 minutes of this, which means you're going to give me 5 minutes of something that happened last week, this weekend, and talk about it. It doesn't have to be exactly 5 minutes. I saw
we'll
you
go
watch.
With something. Well, my super kryptonite is definitely time. It's time blindness. So I got my little Mickey Mouse watch. Uh-huh. We're going to figure it out from there. So things that happened in the last week or two, I'll go with Dynasty rookie drafts.
Ugh.
I know. I listened to your last episode, and you don't play Dynasty, or no, you do. You forgot, so you probably missed the rookie draft and auto drafted everything.
Well, I am in a draft now. I missed the trade that was given to me, which I don't know if I would have taken or not. But yeah,
what was it?
B League, Dan wanted to give me Jordan Love because my quarterback sucked because I drafted as if it weren't Dynasty. He wanted to give me Jordan Love, but he would have gotten my 106 pick of this year and I another pick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done it. But.
106 is under the line of, 101 through 106 are worth a lot more than 107 passed. So if I'm giving up 106 for Jordan Love, it's going to be because I have a lot of faith in Jordan Love, but I'm still going to need a little bit of a hedge bet back, like an early second or a second next year or something like that. That's it's a good thing that you missed out on that.
Well, okay, don't tell B-League this, and I'm pretty sure he's not watching the show. I did see the thing. I did see the trade before I drafted my 106, and I was like, eh. But I was drafting the 106 as I saw it, and I'm like, I have the three quarterbacks I have, Ryan Tannehill, trash. Marcus Mariota, trash.
Oof, and, nothing.
Hello, I know. And who's my third one? My third one is a starter. Who is my third one? Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, I love Tua. Who did you get at 106?
Jordan Addison.
Oh, that's all interesting.
All the quarterbacks are gone. I didn't want a running back.
You took Addison over Gibbs?
Yes. No, Gibbs was gone. Gibbs was gone. Bijan was gone. So I took Gibbs over. Will Levis was the only quarterback left that might have a chance to play, and I wasn't going to take him. And, yeah, I took Addison over Gibbs. Addison was the first wide receiver taken.
Oh, okay. You took him over JSN.
I did take him over JSN. Okay. Yeah, I did.
I think you might be playing redraft again. Because his position, his setup this year is much, much better. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba is just such a good prospect that it's a...
Well, I'm counting I'm counting on Kirk Cousins being gone, and they're getting a better quarterback next year, and he's going to be really good with Justin Jefferson. So I'm counting on I'm playing the long game.
I like it.
There's G's fan Twitter handle. I'm not as active. He's really not active on Twitter. But... every Friday, 8:30 Mountain Time, the Armchair Fantasy Podcast. But that is G's. Okay, and then here we go. Jamie's traded Pollard for JSN. Quentin Johnston was taken 106. Wait, Jamie and I aren't the same one. And Ryan Tannehill is poor man's Case Keenum. Whatever.
Aww.
That sucks. He really does.
Tannehill is a super discount, overlooked Daniel Jones.
I think so. I think he's going to play all this year. And then Levis will come in next year.
You said, you were listing out your players earlier, and I don't think Tannehill is trash. I really don't.
I think he's trash.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. But I think that he can give us one last good, one of those, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Tannehill if you want to ride him into the sunset for one last year, because he always puts up numbers with his legs. He's hyper accurate. He's going to have Treylon Burks healthy this year. Tannehill is going to be healthy this year. So there's all kinds of reasons that he fell off the radar last year, but he's fine. He's just a more spry, less volume heavy Kirk Cousins, who's always been a QB1, a back-end QB1. And Tannehill's always the same way in points per game. He gets it done, but it's not fun.
Right, it's not pretty. It's not splashy. It's not Patrick Mahomes. But, you'll get your 19-plus points, maybe.
Sure. And you know what? I'm not going to ask for anything more than that. No. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I...
at that price, Jordan, geez.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Everyone in that league knows that I don't play Dynasty. Everyone in that Dynasty league knows that I don't play Dynasty. So they give me like trash. They give me like, because I won't trade for next year because I friggin' don't even know what I'm going to do when I take off these headphones. So I don't trade for like the 201 next year because I don't know if I'm going to be playing in this league next year. So
we don't know if we're going to be alive on Sunday, according to Shanahan.
You. Exactly. Daniel Jones is going to be a top five fantasy. Okay. That is a true Giants fan. Yep.
You said they were rabid. You said they were off kilter. There it is.
Ralph is like losing it right there. All right, I'm sorry. You're 5 minutes.
That's 6 minutes.
Yeah, but it wasn't you talking.
Oh, I know. I thought I got out of it. Thanks for doing my homework for me.
You're welcome. I'm here for you. I am here for you.
Okay, so I guess if you still have any drafts left over, because most of the rookie drafts have already come and gone, make a plan, but stay fluid. Figure out which tiers you like to be. Figure out where your tier breaks are within each round. And within each, like, 1 through 6 would be a tier break. Probably 6 through 7 through the through the next 3 wide receivers, and maybe Kincaid and Charbonnet if you want to include them. So maybe up to like 111 is another tier break. And then the next tier break is probably up to like 204. So what I like to do is trade as much as I can ahead of the draft and get as many 106s as possible, because they're the cheapest in that tier. Get as many 110s as possible, because they're, you know, 110s, 112s, because they're the cheapest in that tier. And as many 204s, and then as many, like, what's really nice this year in the back of the second round is that people are falling out of love with all of the running backs that we've been going gaga over for the running back depth this year. And we're just forgetting about it to the point where you're able to, if you have like 211 through 303, if you were to say have those 5 picks, 211, 212, 301, 23, you could build a nice stable of running backs that we could see supplant the 2017 class. And it's just a good idea to trade back into the place where you can reload on all this young talent without actually having to plant a flag. As long as you get a few of those dart throws, and you can do it if you can plan where to get these end of tier, collect all these end of tier picks in a row, it's just a really nice year to, if you've been building zero RB for a while, because that's kind of the best way to do it in Dynasty if you're not ready to compete, this is a nice year to get all those 301s and get all those big Tank Bigsby's that fall.
They were like getting into the thing. It was like, it was great watching. I'm listening,
but
I'm
watching. Mama Cat was not having these dogs playing with the kittens.
No.
But no, it's, you know, this class has been talked down a lot, but I think that it shouldn't be, and I think that it's a really good opportunity to capitalize. If you can plan on placing your pick positions where you want them.
Okay, so, well, we'll talk about Dynasty later. But, all right, well, I'll take that as your 5 minutes, but you're going to have to repeat it because we're talking about Dynasty later. It's okay. I don't care.
Okay.
All right. Before I start, Jamie, Dan, Ralph, I'm going to need you to smash the like button because you both are on YouTube and I don't see that happening. I'm very disappointed in both of you right now. Very, very disappointed. Are you yelling at your dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Stop yelling at your dogs. They just want to play with the cats.
They are trying to play with the cats, aren't we all?
Yes.
But the problem is they're being too aggressive with it. So you need to teach the young ones to reel it back in, you know?
How old are they?
One's about 14 months, and the other one's probably less than a year.
Oh, they're puppies.
Yeah, they are
puppies. They want to play with everything.
Everything in this house is a puppy.
Exactly. Exactly. Mr. Scampers, speaking of cats.
Ah!
Mr. Scampers, he has 3 kittens in there. How are you, Mr. Scampers? I love you. Like for the pirate flag. He likes the pirate flag. Thanks. Good evening to you. And Jamie smashed the button before the show started. Ah, oh, Jamie, you're the best. All right, my 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about the Women's College World Series because not enough people are watching it, and it's awesome.
Is so this NCAA softball?
Yeah, NCAA softball. Last weekend was the regional. This weekend coming up will be the super regional. So they go from 32 teams to 16 teams to 8 teams that go to the College World Series, right? This weekend will be, so 1 through 16 host the regionals at their home, right? And then however it falls, like number 2 UCLA lost, which is one of the 3 things. The 3 things about the Women's College World Series. UCLA was the number 2 team in the country playing at UCLA. They lost their first game to Grand Canyon, which was like a massive upset. Like I'm watching 2 games and everyone on the other game is like, no way. Because UCLA has that firepower that even if they're 1 or 2 runs behind, you think they're going to get, they have the firepower to get over that hump. Lost to Grand Canyon, had to come back and play Liberty, the next day, lost to Liberty. It was like the best weekend ever. Not because I hate UCLA, but because I like underdogs. And those were like two of the craziest. San Diego State ended up coming out of that bracket, which was like the next highest seed to UCLA. But still, Grand Canyon, Liberty, kudos to you. Second one, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I remember watching them. They had this old, like maybe 6 years ago, their coach caught throat cancer. And he coached them through this throat cancer. He has since passed away. But the guy they have now is like the mad jester. Like, he makes the craziest moves during the thing. Louisiana Raging Cajuns beat LSU at LSU's home.
So that was the second of that. That's awesome.
It was awesome.
So if you want a movie parallel to this, it's the South Louisiana Mud Dogs of the Water Boy beating up on whoever the other team was, right?
I've never seen the Water Boy.
I watched it again this week. It's fantastic. It's trash, but it's fun trash. And just a note, I want to say the Raging Cajuns are in Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah?
So that's fun. They're super Cajun. Thibodeaux. It's like almost marshland.
Yeah, their coach, I'm pretty sure, probably grew up there. Because they talk to the coaches during the thing, and he's talking, and I'm like, I don't even know what he's saying. I don't understand a word he's saying.
Like Bobby Ogeron for LSU. That's what he was. He was straight up Cajun.
And he made these crazy changes. The Louisiana was ahead. LSU, of course, caught up. And then Louisiana, like, in the sixth inning, came back and won that game. Speaking of which, McNeese State, I'm pretty sure I'm not pronouncing that right.
You are. That's right.
McNeese State.
It's a HBCU, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
Not this one.
Okay.
There's a McNeese State that is HBCU. So that's why I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. They played Washington in Washington. Double elimination. So they're in the final. They beat Washington 1-0 to go into a final elimination game. They're up 6-0 going into the top of the seventh because they are the home team now. Washington scores 7 runs in the seventh inning. He doesn't take
the Uh-oh, lead. Jamie Pirogue.
He does not take his pitcher out until the sixth run is scored. Like, they're teeing off on her. Like, it's not that they're playing sloppy. It was raining and the grass was wet, and so the outfield was a mess. But he does not take that pitcher out until they score 6 runs. Washington ends up winning 7-6. They came back in the seventh inning, the last inning, 7 runs. I'm conflicted. It was like a great comeback, but all the while I'm like, why aren't you taking the pitcher out? Why aren't you taking the pitcher out? And then I feel really bad because the underdog was like, you know, when they go into the seventh inning, up 6 runs, you think you have the game. And then 7.
It was a 28-3 situation, wasn't it?
28-3 situation. Yeah, it was. Except they're not Atlanta.
Jamie's got to be a big. You said Seattle won. You said Washington won that game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jamie's gonna have to jump on the Washington bandwagon if it's seven runs in the seventh inning to win the game. That's right up his alley.
And Washington was seeded number 7. In the tournament.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
7-7. If you're playing slots, your boy win one big.
All the way across. It was like the conflicted thing. I'm like, that's a great comeback, but that had to hurt McNeese State. Like, that has to, like, you're not gonna get over that. You're not gonna, especially the pitcher. You're just not gonna get over that. All right. Here's what we got. We're moving on. We're moving on at a rapid pace. Brittany Griner's return was this Friday. It wasn't at home. The home game was Sunday, I think. But she played her first game back in like 500 days. What was your one takeaway from that?
I didn't watch. But my one takeaway from it is that she's playing again, which is huge because, you know, I don't want to touch too much on politics, but that's a political prisoner in a gulag for no goddamn good reason. And they got her out and she's hitting the court. You know, she's doing what she loves. She's doing what she's best at and living her life to its fullest, which is shocking and beautiful and quick. And, you know, that's what I take away from it.
Okay.
But I don't know any performance stuff.
My one takeaway was the one college coach the college coach that came to greet her, the first college coach that came to greet her, wasn't Kim Mularkey, who, or whatever her name is. I really don't like that woman, who she won the championship for. Nowhere to be seen. It was Dawn Staley, South Carolina's coach, went up and hugged her. And I'm thinking the whole time, this is kind of bullshit. Like, I understand Kay, well, I don't understand it. I mean, I understand that a lot of it has to do with my extreme dislike for that woman, but the least you can do for the woman who won you an NCAA championship is come see her one game after she's like been held political prisoner. So that was my takeaway.
Yeah, outside of sports, go do the right thing.
All right.
Bummer.
It was a
bummer. Who's the coach we don't like now?
Your LSU coach, the LSU.
What's LSU, the name?
Kim Mularkey.
All right. You damn right it's Kim Mularkey.
Yeah. We hate her. Well, we don't hate. Hate's like really strong. We really don't like her. She's like really, what's the odious? She's just.
Thank you. I like it.
I do what I can. Is that the lady that stands in middle? Yes. With all the crazy outfits. She always has like these crazy outfits. And here's the thing. So during the NCAA, she wore the most ridiculous outfits. And then they had like the nerve to highlight her dresser, her designer, the person who designed it. I'm like, why would you want people to know that you designed that thing? Because no. But anyway, moving on. Because now it's just ridiculous.
Yes. Now we look how far we got from Brittany Griner, you know?
I know, right? We just like feared. Okay. We're going to talk about the NBA finals really quickly, really rapidly talk about them. I didn't think that the Nuggets would win this game. I actually bet on them to win last game. So I'm really proud of myself for that, but there's no way LeBron's going to let them sweep them on his court. So, the picture that we have is of Joker. Cause here's my thing about Joker. I love that he has a dad bod and he like beats everybody up and down the court. Like he has the dad bod and he's like running backwards. And like, meanwhile, Anthony Davis is like,
how do you say his name? How do you say the Joker's name?
Nikola Jokic.
Nicole, is it Nikolai or Nicole Jokic?
Nikola Jokic, I think.
Okay. Yeah. One of my favorite pictures, and it's not even just basketball based, like just iconic, is when he's looking at, who's he looking at? And some dude just looks distressed. And I think it was last year during the playoffs when he was putting up buckets. Nikola Jokic was putting up buckets and just destroying this other team. And the other dude is struggling and he's got his hands on his knees and he's kind of like, he's just not having a good time, you could tell. And the Joker is in the background just looking at him, you know, looking up at his face like this, happy as a lark, not a care in the world. And it's so much fun. Nikola Jokic. Thank you, Ralph Dixon.
Cool.
Apparently,
the Denver's ahead now with 9 minutes left to go. And apparently, Jamie loves you.
Aww. Oh, I love you too, Jamie. That's triple sevens, split half.
That's nice. Yeah. So it's like Nikola. Nikola. I love him. I love the fact that, yeah, he's like, what? You know, and he hardly ever changes his facial emotion. Like, you don't know if he's tired because you can't tell.
He's
like,
just, well, do puppies get tired?
No.
He's just a big doughy puppy who's kind of freakish at the game in like a bunch of cerebral ways because it's certainly not physical ability.
No.
But he gets it done.
Yeah. And he gets it done in splendid style. Like, it's not like he's barely coasting getting it done. He's getting it done in splendid style. And apparently Anthony Davis is killing his 20-point parlay. jump shots like his 60-year-old uncle. But they go in, and that's all that matters. They go in. And, okay, my other question for all you basketball guys who are watching, is fucking Jimmy Butler like a cyborg? I don't understand his, like, emergence during the playoffs. Like, and I don't understand Williams, why would you poke the bear? Jimmy Butler's clearly the best player on that team, and you're going to, like, talk smack to him so he gets mad and, like, shoots, like, 30 points on you?
I feel like this is just a playoff theme every single year. We go back and we say, why did they piss that one guy off?
Yeah, Why would you piss off Jimmy Butler?
And for like 7 years, it was Jordan. Why did they challenge Jordan's ego? They were making it until they challenged his ego, and then he came and just destroyed their morale. He destroyed their team. He destroyed their spirit. He destroyed their chances. And it seems like every year they just make somebody mad and then learn to regret it.
Yeah, and it like in his press conference, like I'm obsessed with players' press conferences. I don't know why. Cool. Because I think some of them are actually honest during the press conference, and they don't like give, oh, we gave it our best, and oh, blah. Jimmy Butler was like annoyed with people asking him, is this unexpected? Like, you can tell. He's just like, the last time he's like, haven't I answered this question already? And then he just went on. I'm like, this is why I love you, but this is also why, like, I don't, cards on the table, I don't watch basketball during the season, like NBA. Because they play like 300,000 games.
It's so many games, like baseball.
Thank you. Yeah. So many games. Baseball too. And I can't keep up with it. I can't. I'm not going to lie. I have like an attention span of a wounded gnat.
Basketball is just better in best ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I don't want to set these lineups. I've tried playing fantasy
basketball.
They have basketball,
best ball?
Well, they have basketball fantasy, which I tried for 1 year, but it's just impossible to keep up with because you got to set the lineup at least 5 days a week. So yeah. I can't imagine doing that unless I'm drafting and just leaving it alone. I can't imagine trying to keep up with that. You know, says the guy who's on sleeper for 2-3 hours a day at least. You know,
it's like baseball. You would have to, like in football, you have just that 1 week and you can like get your stats and you can find out who's hurt and who's not. With all these teams and all these games, you have so many players that you have to, are they hurt? Are they not hurt? Are they playing? Are they not playing? Who's, there's just way too many things to keep track of. Like, I don't know how anyone plays basketball or baseball fantasy. Like,
I'm with you. Yeah.
Loves baseball fantasy. And I can't even get my head around that. But So Jimmy Jay, who isn't here, who watches basketball all the time, his theory is the Nuggets aren't going to lose at home. Which is true. I don't think they will. But he thinks that Spoelstra, the Miami coach, is like the best coach in the playoffs. I know. That's what I said, because I always thought that he got the job. Didn't he get the job like when LeBron went down there when they had the big three? That's when his emergence was. I always thought that was his claim to fame. But apparently he's just a really good basketball coach.
And okay.
Yeah.
So he's not the Adam Gase behind.
Okay.
Who was it? Peyton Manning.
Why are we talking about Adam Gase? Adam Gase.
Because we're talking about coaches that get credited for their success when it was really the star
players.
Of the team that was.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they live on that for a few more years, like Gase after Peyton Manning, or I don't remember where he was, but yeah. So it sounds like that's what you were expecting, but you know. I had some friends talk me out of, I just like long shots if I don't really care about watching because, you know, it's fun. There was a 3% chance for Miami Heat to advance past.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 3%.
3%?
3% before the playoffs. And $5 would have been nothing. And some jerks at the bar told me, no, it's just not worth it. I'm like, 3%, come on. So I didn't take it. I know, like a jerk.
Oh.
Yeah. So
did
next
you just,
time
like,
I. So
go and see I'm, them? And well,
I'm gonna drink on them every single time I'm at the bar with them. I'm gonna say, hey, remember when you owe me a bar tab now? Because 3%.
That would have been
brutal.
Nice. That would have been a
brutal.
Nice payoff. Don't think about it because that makes me sad. And I didn't even put the money down. They were the eighth seed. I mean, they are the eighth seed, so that's a valid point. But still, I do like long shots too, which is the only reason I bet on. Money line last for the Nuggets because they were a long shot to win the game in Los Angeles.
Panthers are up in the series 3-0 against the Hurricanes, which really messed with me because I had been watching this from a distance. Mm-hmm. Do you know that it's not the Carolina Panthers and the Florida Hurricanes? It's actually the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh, that is confusing.
It's just counterintuitive.
That is. Mr. Scampers, I have a feeling, is a really huge hockey fan because he was really pissed about the hockey draft when it happened, that Chicago got the first pick. So, Mr. Skempers, where do you live? I'm guessing Carolina or Florida, maybe, since he's like into this series.
Probably not Chicago. And you guys were talking on this last episode about this up and coming first rounder that's supposed to be like the all out up and coming, the Trevor Lawrence, if not more, of the draft.
Oh no, they were Michael Jordan. This kid is supposed to. Okay, so first of all, hockey, completely different set of rules than what we're used to, right? Like they don't have to go to college. They can draft them. This kid's like 18 years old, and he's been playing since he's like 13, and the hype's been on him since he's like 13 or 12, and everyone thought, he's going to succumb to it. He just keeps getting better, apparently, and he gets better in the way that he makes others around him better. Like, he's not just the – do you watch Ted Lasso?
I love Ted Lasso.
Oi, that's my new thing.
Oi!
Oi, that's what I say all the time. I don't even know why. Oh, no, I was just an adopter expansion team when I was a kid, Mr. Skeppers. I love you. He's not like that Jamie guy, like, who's really good but knows he's really good. And
Jamie Tart. Yep.
Tart! Yep. Yeah. This kid is supposedly, like, just makes everyone around him better. So Chicago's getting him.
Can we talk about that too with LeBron James putting up a career high first half playoff point total at 31 points? That dude is 38 years old. And you remember when he was coming out at like 18 or 19, I think he joined the NBA, and it was impossible to live up to his hype. It was impossible. And he never messed it up. All he did was do better than what was expected for 19 years now. It's absurd.
I read somewhere where he wants to play with Bronny. He wants to play with his son.
That's adorable.
I think he's going to USC. So what? He has to stay in college 2 years before they can draft you?
Oh, I didn't know that. They don't. That's why you guys were talking about last episode that hockey has the youngest rookies now. I thought that basketball was also straight out of high school. Now they're requiring college?
Unless you play overseas. If you play overseas, they can draft you whenever. Like the kid that's supposed to be in the first pick of the NBA is from France, and he's like 18.
Wembalaya or something like that. It's a W name. I don't know. I can't. But yeah, he's getting a lot of hype. This tiny little, and you look at him and you're like, that guy's 14 years old. Yeah. He can't weigh more than 160 pounds. Let him grow up a little bit. But you know, everybody's frothing over him.
I know. I think that's a lot of. Oh, they are going to win this game. That is a lot of pressure. I can't imagine these kids living up to. I mean, it's just a lot of pressure on these kids. Like, you know, number one pick. You're going to make all this money. Blah blah blah. It's just a lot of pressure. I can't.
What was that last comment you put up on the screen about Jokic is about to beat?
Chamberlain's record for triple doubles in postseason.
Wow!
I know.
So that's what it reminded me of when you were like, "He's doughy. I don't know how he makes it work, but somehow he just makes it work. It's ugly, but it works." And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Wilt Chamberlain shooting free throws underhand. It's so ugly, but he does it. So who cares? You know, it's an engineering phrase that I like a lot too. If it looks stupid but it works, it's not stupid.
Right. I can get behind that, and I'm not even an engineer. I think they have to stay 2 years now, Ralph. I think that's the whole thing. Although the Alabama kid, has he been there 2 years? He's coming out this year. The one who bought a gun to a knife fight.
Is that John Morant? I'm just kidding. I don't follow closely enough. I just know everybody's getting in trouble right now.
John Morant's an idiot. First of all, he's at the strip club that he was at. I don't even know why he was at Colorado Boulevard strip club when he was brandishing a gun. Come on. Like, Diamond is the best strip club, and it's right downtown, and you're right here. Like, he's an idiot. His kid's an idiot. Scott Henderson? What? Are we just like throwing out names? I don't understand what
Scoot.
This is. Scoot! Who's Scoot Henderson?
I don't know, but I like the name.
I know, right?
So, Gladys, you live in Colorado?
I do live in Colorado now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. It's Colorado. And you would love it because it's an out. If you love the outdoors, this is the place to be.
You can do anything, right? There's all kinds of topography. There's all kinds of climates.
Yeah, you can do literally anything. All you have to do is drive like 30 miles and you're the best. And my dog is not a hiking dog, so he's like, no. And I'm
what kind of dog do you have?
He was at Shotgun Willie's, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
He took the name too literally and got in trouble.
You know, here's the thing. The Shotgun Willie's, their emblem is like a shotgun, but it's like a shotgun that's not inert. It's like a shotgun that's like, yeah, it's a shotgun that's flaccid. I don't even know why it's in front of a strip club. It's the craziest thing.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this up right now.
I know, you should.
Take over for a minute, Gladys. I got work to do.
And now they have a dispensary attached to him too, which may be why he was there.
Maybe why he's flaccid. Just kidding.
No, it could be. I don't. It's the craziest thing. But I have a. He's a Cane Corso. He's a rescue. Cane Corso Wartweiler mix. The best dog ever is my dog. Did you see it?
No. See the flaccid? Yeah, I see the flaccid. So wait. What did you say? What mix?
Cane Corso Rottweiler.
Whoa, dang. Nobody messes with you walking him, huh?
No.
Cane Corsos are just basically dragons. They're like if a pit bull was double its size, that's a Cane Corso.
Okay, here's the thing. I got him because one of my dogs passed away and the other dog was like mourning the dog that passed away. So I was like, all right, let's go find you a buddy. So we went and I was like, just give me the dog that's been here the longest. And that it's not a girl because Tara couldn't get along with girl dogs. And so they bought Jack in. And he was like 30 pounds underweight. He was like humpback because he was so underweight. And they're like, yeah, we think he's a Cane Corso. I'd never heard of a Cane Corso before Jack. And I'm like, great. Okay, that's fine. And they're like, let's see if they get along. And of course they did because they're dogs. And I brought him home. And the first night I'm walking him, these three Hispanic guys stop me. And they're like, yo, is that a Cane Corso? And I'm like, sure. I have no idea what you're talking about. And so I got a DNA test done on him because just in case something happened and I had to know what kind of breed he was. And he's a Cane Corso Rottweiler mix. And he's very super protective. Like he's almost aggressively protective, almost overly aggressively protective.
That's, you can't have dogs that big being aggressive because they're just unstoppable forces, you know? They're just so capable.
It's really weird. Like his teeth are like, he accidentally bit me once and his teeth are like friggin' razors. And the thing is, he knows, like, if I'm not feeling well, no one can come near me. But if I tell him to sit and let someone pet him, he will let you pet him two times, and then he goes after you. It's the weirdest thing. You can pet him twice, and then he just tries for you. So I tell people, pet him twice, and then just move your hand.
Yeah, he's fully cocked, as opposed to Shotgun Willie's, which is...
I know, it's right! See?
It is...
Is that the weirdest thing? For maybe a strip club.
Maybe it's supposed to make the clientele feel more virile.
Okay.
By comparison. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why he bought a gun in. That's why he bought a gun into a,
Lord.
To a fight. All right. Let's get your fantasy questions out of the way really quick. You may have already said this. No, you didn't. What are the three or five most important, give me three most important elements when you're building a fantasy dynasty team?
Building from the ground up. stay fluid. And I'm going to make that 2 points, not just one.
Okay.
One is liquidity is super important. Liquidity is just future capital and the ability to maintain value in a way that stays cash in your pocket versus groceries in your grocery cart that are, you know, the groceries in the grocery cart, they're getting warm as you're going to the register and taking them home. And there are things that can happen to the groceries in your grocery cart, whereas liquidity is just cash in your pocket. And it's like if you see one vegetable and you see you can't really do this, but and you see another vegetable that's very comparable and one costs 2x and the other one costs 2x, but you get 1x back in your pocket at the register when you buy it. That's what I'm talking about by maintaining liquidity is always keep that 1x back in your pocket and do what you can with the players that you have. But I wouldn't invest too much in any team, especially in any startup. I wouldn't invest too much of my future in any team to just put everything in the grocery cart and say, I'm going to get home and make the best meal ever. Because it almost never works out like that. There's just too much going on for you to really rely on maintaining value that way.
Okay.
So that's one way of talking about liquidity. Fluidity is, you could also take it like, go in with a plan, but never be stuck to your plan. Because sometimes you go into a startup draft and you find out that your plan, because you're a genius and you're the smartest one in the room and you have the best plan, unfortunately, you find out that 9 of the other 11 players also have the same exact best plan in the room. And you have to be able to adjust. If you're starting to see what should be maybe, late second, or just say mid round, let's say you think Jonathan Taylor is a really good mid third round startup pick and a super flex, but you don't want to play that game where one of your first three picks are a running back, because that's not the way. And I'll dip on another, bullet point is that you want to build on young wide receivers, you want to build on franchise quarterbacks. And then when you're finally ready, you can always buy good old tight ends for very cheap if you don't want to have them as a staple on your team, if you don't want to get like a top 6 tight end. If you want to, let's say last year, you built around everything but running backs and tight end, and you just happen to by going 0 RB, you put up so many points by, just relying on like some nobody like Devin Singletary who puts up 10 points a game. But if the rest of your team after RB2 is so good, it doesn't really matter if you're just getting 10 points a game from the 2 RB slots. But with liquidity, you can figure out where your team is, but by week 3 or 4, when other teams are figuring out, man, this year ain't the year. I need to get rid of 29-year-old Derrick Henry. Well, now all of a sudden your liquidity becomes a top 4 to 6 every single year running back because you have that cash in your hand. And you were patient and you built a team in other places, then you're able to fill it in. But if you go into a startup thinking, I'm going to do that again because that's what worked, that's what the smart people did last year, and that's what the smart people are going to do this year. Well, if this year 75 to 80% of the league wised up and knows that that's the smart thing to do, and Jonathan Taylor falls to the 4th, you have to throw away your plans and just take Jonathan Taylor in the 4th because the value is so good that you can't be too rigid and you have to be able to be fluid with your plan and your assets.
Well, I think the fluid goes for any like redraft or...
For sure, any draft.
Any draft. And Jamie agrees with you because he likes to build around young stud wide receivers and quarterbacks for Dynasty. But his example here, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Okay, so Jamie said, example, I'm on the clock at 204. I'm guessing it's gotta be super flexed because if he's there at 1 QB, something's broken. So 204, Kendre Miller's on the board. He's happy with Roshan, Mims, or Reed. So he's looking to trade back 3 picks to gain capital. Honestly, just because, and I'm not a big Kendre guy because I think he's kind of a plotter. The fact that he's going at 112 in all of these super flex rookie drafts is counting on the fact that Alvin Kamara is not going to be there and that he's going to be the guy and Jamal Williams is going to be the backup. That's just a lot of ifs to bank on to take Kendre Miller at the 112. But if he falls to the 204, this is the fluidity I'm talking about. This is the Cam Akers in the 4th round of a startup where you see a guy that's regularly going at 112. You take him at 204 because it doesn't matter how you feel about the player. The market designates him to have gone 5 picks earlier in the first 15 picks. So you just have to take that guy because if everybody else in all the other leagues are right and Kamara doesn't play, let's say, I'm just going to say, go ahead and take Kendre Miller at the 204. You absolutely have to, because if Kamara does get an 8-game suspension and gets cut by the Saints, you're immediately turning that 204 that you used on Kendre Miller into a first plus. So it doesn't matter how you feel about the player. You just have to stay fluid, stay more in tune with the market than your league, which sometimes doesn't turn out well if you've got weird micro markets in specific leagues. But 204, Kendrick, any guy that's going at 112 and you get him at 204, you just take it. And I like to let other people make the decisions and screw up, and I'll just take the field and scoop up everything that's left. Smash Kendra Miller at 204.
And thanks, now you're Jamie. You're Jamie's guy now.
Good. Uh-huh. Jamie's my guy. 777, baby.
All right. And would you pick the 101 next year over any player this year?
I would. The obvious 101 this year is Bijan, and we love Bijan, but in a super flex, Caleb Williams, it just doesn't matter. You're taking Caleb Williams over Bijan. You should do it 10 times out of 10. Now, if you think that Bijan Robinson is the difference between you getting ninth place and getting first place, you can adjust a little bit. But if you're guaranteed the 101 for the next year, I think the 101 next year with Caleb Williams is going to be better than the 101 this year in a running back, just in general, as a general blanket statement.
So here's my problem with Dynasty. And don't get me wrong, I wish Caleb Williams the best, because I think he's a pretty cool cat. How do we know he's not going to get hurt? How do you know he's going to be as good this year as he was last year? I mean, do you know what I mean? I don't – like, going into – last year, like Hendon Hooker was like the guy, you know, like everyone, especially for the first three or four games. Will Levis, no one, and still no one should, as far as I'm concerned, but Will Levis, no one even considered, you know, after mm-hmm. he started this season. There's so much uncertainty, there's so much that can happen that you're banking on not happening. And I guess that's my main problem with Diamond.
I would counter with this. Caleb Williams doesn't really have any holes in his prospect profile. Hendon Hooker, as much as I love him and I'm overweight on him this year, I heard he can only throw to the one side of the field, which I don't know if that's true. I don't believe it. But all I'm saying is that there are holes in his profile that might cover half the field. So let's say Hendon Hooker didn't get hurt this year and Caleb Williams does get hurt and misses the entire next season. I still think that if Hendon Hooker wasn't hurt this year, you still couldn't buy an injured Caleb Williams missing his senior year for five Hendon Hookers if he came out healthy this year. He's just that elite of a prospect. And in Superflex, you can't pass that up for a running back. I don't care how generational it is. He's just, you know, he's getting these. I hate when people do this and compare people to Tyreek Hill or Pat Mahomes. Right. But the smartest people I know are saying this guy is comparable to Pat Mahomes. So from what I'm hearing in Devy leagues, where you're allowed to draft anybody from college all the way through the NFL, mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is the 103. Or like the 104 at most after Jalen Hurts, which is, it's just so, so bonkers. But I'll listen to the market more than I'll listen to my own gut or prospect prospecting, I guess. I'll just go with the market. And the market says Caleb Williams is worth pretty much the 105 in a Devy startup at worst. You got to go with that.
Okay. I mean, I guess, hence my reluctance to play Dynasty.
I know, and so much Dynasty is super flex, and you got to get a feel to how much these quarterbacks are overvalued, or not overvalued in Dynasty, just differently valued in Dynasty super flex. They're gold, they're platinum nuggets, they're NFTs. It's dumb.
Which, see, not knowing that, like, I guess why I didn't jump on Jordan Love, because I'm like, no. But anyway,
he was asking too much. You did good by ignoring it. Yeah.
Take that, Dan.
Yeah, suck it, Dan.
Suck it, Dan. All right. If you had the 101 pick in redraft this year, who are you picking?
Any format. Well, not any format, but It's Justin Jefferson. He's the best that we've seen. I don't care how old you are. He's the best that we've seen. I don't care if you're 100 years old. He is the best prospect that we've seen make it work in the NFL. I don't care if Kirk Cousins might not be there next year. I don't care. He is the building block. Justin with the Debbie drop. So Jamie P. Rugg says, Justin with the Debbie drop, I need to get more into Debbie. You don't have to. I joined one Debbie league, and it was because a buddy of mine was like, hey, I got an orphan and I want you to play. So I picked it up and I immediately sold all my Debbie picks because I like to win. And a second in a rookie draft that's not Debbie is worth who knows. You know who's going around there, but that's the person that you're going to get in a Debbie depleted draft or somebody. You're going to get a freshman. You won't be able to use them for 4 years anyway. It's just boy, oh boy. So in Dynasty, about half the people are usually rebuilding and half the people are going for it. And somewhere in that middle half, things get mixed up. But in Debbie leagues, it's more like 2/3 to the rebuilding and 1/3 to the winning. So it just seems like a cheat code to play Debbie if you don't look at it in a Debbie sense and you just play in a Dynasty sense. And then if you just want to play it in a win now redraft sense, you're going to crush the league because you're only competing with 3 or 4 people. So play Debbie, but don't play it their way.
So Jamie disagrees with you. He would take Chase over Jefferson this year. And
in redraft or in Dynasty?
No, we're doing redraft first.
Okay.
Redraft. Best ball, who's your 101?
It's Jefferson. It's Jefferson in every format. Unless it's some weird scoring thing where it's like 2-point tight end premium, then I might consider something else, especially in a redraft on Michael Kelsey. But Jefferson's perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. Give me Jefferson every time.
Jefferson's perfect. He's perfect, Jamie. Your Chase is sorry.
Jamie, you're not crazy, and I will speak up for his point of view that Jamar Chase might be better in Dynasty and better this year. The inconsistency of Jamar Chase's health this year really threw some of his year-end metrics off. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his per game, he's phenomenal. Now, he's also going to continue playing with his college QB. So he's got 5 years now of chemistry with Joe Burrow. And when he and Justin Jefferson were together, Jamar Chase was better. So if you want to go Jamar Chase, I'm not going to argue with you at all. I'm going to go Justin Jefferson. But if you want to go Jamar Chase, that's fine. I completely understand.
Okay. Now we learn that Jamie also has a son. Holy mother of God, Jamie. How many kids do you have? Let's just throw that out there because now you're just blowing my mind.
And how many sports stars are they named after?
I know. Well, oh, Mia Hamm. I didn't even get that till just now.
Right?
Yeah. That was cool. Like, that is awesome. But Hannah, I think the Hannah part threw me off. All right. So Jamie loves you, and I'm sure everyone else does. And I appreciate you being here. I love you. Thank you. He has three kids. Jamie, seriously. Okay, first of all, that you procreated 3 times is amazing to me.
Also, knock it off.
Yeah.
Sleep better. Stop.
Yeah, Jamie, you might want to wrap that thing up next time or this time or whenever you do it again. Do you have anything that you want to rant about? Are you okay? You good?
No, I had fun. Sorry I showed up a little bit late. I got the Mountain Times and the Central Times and the Eastern Times confused and I came in huffing and puffing, but you were an excellent host, and I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you being here, everyone. Because it's comparative, like Ralph. It's like if you had one kid, I would compare you to Philip Rivers, Ralph, and that it's comparative. It's not Philip Rivers can afford like 1,000 kids.
That's what I was going to say. If you compare their salaries, and I don't know, Jamie, you might be a millionaire, but you're not Philip Rivers millionaire. Yeah. If you compare their salaries, you're way over budget, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mr. Scampers, for showing up and joining. And Scampers, Ralph has seen Kane Corso. Rafa's seen Jack. Jack's not huge. I mean, he's a big boy, but he's not a huge boy yet. He's getting there. But thank you, Mr. Scampers. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, G, for joining in on the conversation. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for Mr. Norlands. Mr. Norlands, the away of Hawaii, which is just my two favorite spots. I can't even believe it. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for your dogs and your kittens and your cat and your fish. I appreciate them all. It was like the greatest thing. You should come on more often.
Okay. And happy to.
Yeah, you should join the Thursday show and do some mock drafts with us too.
Well, this was a little last minute, but I'm always available for last minute, and I'm always available for pre-planned. So I guess right now, with this last minute rant, I'll just plug a couple more things that I'm going to do this upcoming.
Please do.
This upcoming week. So earlier today, I was on JWB with Skyler. That's Buffalo or something like that. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on with JC Dynasty, who's a good friend. And he's really cool. He's doing his own things. He's kind of he's ramping up his start. But I'm going on with Dynasty Degenerates tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. Okay. And then I'm going on with JWB again tomorrow with Timmy. It's N Nubs, two N's, two B's. We talk a lot about Dynasty Theory on there. So that's your jam, it says 8:30, but that's definitely wrong. So just check out JWB. You'll see I'm doing more stuff with them. But I work for the Undroppables. It's at the Undroppables on Twitter. The whole gang's a lot of fun. We just mess around, but we're pretty active and we'll always interact. We'll always answer questions. And so Wednesday at 5 p.m., I'm going 5 p.m. Central, I'm going live with Nate Polvote, and we'll have a podcast releasing the next day. And actually Wednesday night, I'm going to be on with your buddy, Jeff Lambert, on Going for Two.
Why is he my buddy? Nate lives in Colorado.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yes, he does. I would go visit Nate. Nate's awesome.
Yeah, Nate and his wife, they're awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Nate's freebie is Ryan Reynolds. I learned that last year. Like, you know, when you're a husband and wife, you get one free
shirt
on your – his is Ryan Reynolds, which I cannot argue with at all.
You know, how could you?
How could you? So you're going to be on Armchair Fantasy on Wednesday?
Yep, on Wednesday with Jeff.
Armchair Fantasy Wednesday. Nate – but it's not dropped. When is Nate's drop? When you and Nate's dropping?
Nate and I are going to be live. I think live. You know what?
No.
We might not be live. I think that
podcast he records,
It's probably going to drop on Thursday, and I'll be doing the same thing with him next Wednesday.
Okay.
So basically, at JC Dynasty tomorrow with Dynasty Degenerates, and then with at N Nubs, N-N-U-B-B-S, tomorrow on JWB, and then with Nate Polvote, and then with Jeff. So it's just, I don't know what happened, but it's going to be six shows in 3 days, and it's going to be fun.
And you're going to be fabulous on all of them, as you were tonight. You are just stupendous, and I appreciate you very much. And I appreciate all you guys who were in the chat. Thank you very much. Thursday, come see us. 7 p.m. Mountain Time, we are going to be mock drafting rom-coms. And in my DMs, look, Nate on Res. Oh, Nate is my editor on Resball, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that might. I've been on him. I went on that with him 2 weeks ago, and that might be what we're doing these Wednesdays.
Oh yeah. So that might be live then. The Resball is usually live.
It might be.
Yeah.
So if I can give you some advice.
Please.
Rom-coms, Crazy Stupid Love.
No, did I say rom-coms? Yeah. No, we're doing sitcoms. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Crazy Stupid Love. We already did rom-coms, and Crazy Stupid Love was my 1-0, was my second pick in the first round.
I love that movie.
That's the best movie in the world. Yeah, it's just great. All right, so we're doing sitcoms. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry, Jamie. I meant sitcoms, not rom-coms. Sitcoms. We're doing sitcoms. TV is back. She wanted to do sitcoms, so we're doing sitcoms. So, thank you. And then next Monday, it will be the wonderful Kyle doing his show. I know, right, Mr. Scamper? It's Crazy Stupid. It has great songs. It's so good. I can't. It's a great movie. All right. I love you guys. Thank you guys for showing up. Thank you for joining. Thank you for smashing the like button. Thank you, sir, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
tell the dogs and the cats and the fish I said hi and give them all a hug for me. We are out of here, you guys.